You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
We're going to do this real fast, Brother Mark. We don't want to take your time, but this song features Miss Jolene, who has been so faithful to come and play the keyboard for us at whichever place we need her. But she sings really well, too. And this is a song she brought to us. She and I and Kathy have done quite a few times, but it's been a long time. So we're hoping we can do it hot tonight. This is He's Still Waiting at the Well.
Jesus' feet were growing weary as he journeyed on his way. So he rested at a wellside, a comfort in the heat of day. There he waited for a woman black with sin and bound for hell. When she arrived, he plainly told her, she needs not in the well. And he's still waiting by the well, and he's holding out his hand. If you'll drink this living water, you won't have to thirst again. He's been waiting by the well side, knowing you'd be coming by. Take advantage of the moment. He's not gone, he's still waiting by the well.
Woman's voice rings out it clear. She said, this man changed me forever, and if you need hope, you can find it here.
He's still waiting by the well, and he's holding out his hand. If you drink this living water, you won't have to thirst again. He's been waiting by the wellside, knowing you'd be passing by. So take advantage of the moment. He's not gone, he's still waiting by the well. He's still waiting by the well, and he's holding out his hand. If you'll drink living water, you won't have to thirst again. He's been waiting by the wellside, knowing you'd be passing by. So take advantage of the moment. He's not gone, he's still waiting by the well. He's been waiting by the wellside, knowing you. He's not gone, he's still waiting by the well.
Yes, he's waiting.
Oh, wow, that was absolutely fabulous. That was great. It is a great honor, folks, to be with you tonight. Leland, thanks for asking me to come back over here. And I'm thrilled to death to be with you, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you about what I'm going to be able to talk to you about tonight. And that's how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and and Savior and how He changed my life. And I guess if nobody else gets anything else, if nobody gets anything out of this except me, I may be the only one. And because it's, I love giving my testimony because I'm able to reminisce. I'm able to go back to that time that God changed my life. And I'm sitting here fighting back the tears after that song. And because that meant so much to me, because I remember when I met Him, and I was struggling, to say the least. And I'm going to share that with you, so I'll go get right on into it. Folks, I grew up in a little town over in southeast New Mexico named Artesia. Anybody know where Artesia is? And I grew up over there. My mom and my dad divorced when I was 2.5 years old. Mom remarried a few months later. And to say that I grew up in a non-Christian home would probably be putting it pretty lightly. The guy that Mom married was an atheist or an agnostic at best. And I never heard anything. We never went to church. The only time that I ever heard God's name even mentioned in our home was in a very bad way, used in vain. And so there was just no resemblance of Christianity or God. I knew nothing about God. And I mean, when I say nothing, I mean nothing about Him whatsoever. Well, across the street, do any of you guys ever remember the first time that you ever remember hearing about God? Do you remember that? Think back for a minute, because all of us, there was a first for everything, right? And there was a first time, certainly for me, but I can remember it. There was a little girl lived across the street named Peggy Clark. That was about a year younger than me. She was my girlfriend. She was 6 and I was 7. And she liked older men. And then there was another friend of ours down on the corner named Jay. And I can't remember Jay's last name, but Peggy went to the Catholic Church and Jay went to the Church of Christ. And they were very good religious people. And I was a neighborhood heathen. And so they knew I needed help. And so, you guys in this audience today, you probably are not going to be able to remember this, but do any of y'all remember the movie that came out called The Ten Commandments? Who? Please raise your hand if you've... Good, I'm glad. I'm not the only old person in here. And The Ten Commandments came out, and Peggy and Jay wanted me. They thought, let's get Mark to go. Maybe he can realize that God's told him some things he better start doing, you know. He needs to start acting right. Quit lying and cheating and doing all the stuff he's doing. And I wish I had time to share with you some of the stuff I got into whenever I was real little, but it'd just be a comedy hour more than, and we got to be serious for a minute. But I said, my stepdad won't let me go to that. If it has anything to do with God, it won't. Well, Peggy gave me a little red New Testament. She said, here, Mark, take this and go into your bedroom and shut the door and kneel down next to your bed and hold that in your hands and you pray. I said, I don't know how to pray. And she said, pray and just talk to God and ask Him to let you go to the movie. I did it. Got up. I went in. My mom and my stepdad were in at the kitchen table and I went in and I said, hey, y'all, Peggy and Jay are wanting me to go to the movie with them this afternoon around 2 o'clock. Y'all reckon that'd be all right? They didn't even ask me what it was and said, that's fine. And I started out the door when it was time to go. And Bill, my stepdad, asked me what it was. I said, it's the Ten Commandments. He said, oh, well, if you want to go listen to that hogwash, help yourself. So I go and I sit there and I'm right in between these two guys. And Moses parts the Red Sea. And God begins doing all these works. And I'm sitting there with my mouth dropped open. And I'm believing everything I'm seeing, but I'm trying to figure out, is this a movie? I mean, it's really cool what's going on. Is it a movie? Or did this really happen? So I'm asking them all the time, Jay, did this happen? Did this? Yes, Mark, this happened. It's recorded in the Bible. So I get finished, and I walked out of that movie theater for the first time in my life, and I realized there is this all-powerful God. And I'm responsible to Him with my life, with my actions. 7 years old. I go home and I walked in, and Mom was a Christian. She just wasn't living the life. She was away from the Lord. I said, Mom, do we have a Bible? Bill wasn't there. She said, why, of course we have a Bible. What kind of stupid question is that? Of course every house has a Bible. I said, Mom, can I see it? It took us a while to find it, but we found it. We blew the dirt off of it. I said, Mom, are the Ten Commandments in that Bible? See, I couldn't believe that they were so sacred and so holy to me. You know, Scripture says that we should have the faith of a child. I'll never forget that. That faith that I had. And she says, yeah, they're in there. It took us a while to find them, but we found them. And I said, Mom, couldn't you read them? I didn't learn to read until I was about 22, so she reads them. And when she got done, I said, Mom, I was just ecstatic. I said, Mom, do you know God, the Creator, God, wrote that? And tears began to roll down her cheeks. She said, I know it. And I didn't know for years the reason for her grief was that she knew she should have been teaching me that instead of her 7-year-old son telling her that. And it grieved her. And now, so time went on and I resumed my old heathen ways and got to ripe old age of 11 and I went to Denver, Colorado and I stayed with an uncle of mine up there one summer. And while I was in Denver, he was a member of the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And as a result of me being up there and attending church with him, long story short, I joined that church. And guys, I want to tell you, I believed everything it taught. And they believed some pretty absurd things. They believed some hard-to-believe things, but I believe that. I believe that as man is today, just as you and I are today, one time God was. I also believe that as God is today, omnipotent, all-powerful, someday if I live a good enough life, I can be just like Him. I can be a God over my own planet. I believed it. And I don't have time to tell you all the other things, but I believed all of it. Joseph Smith was a true prophet, I believe. But here's the thing, folks. I believed my church 100%. I was dedicated to my church. But when it came to me having a relationship with God on a scale of 10, it was a 0, and I'm not exaggerating. You say something about my God, it didn't bother me, because He really wasn't my God. But you say something about my church, I'd want to fight you. Now, what's wrong with that picture? See, that's religion. And I was ate up with it. Mom divorces her second time and remarries for the third time. As a result, we moved to Midland. We come to Midland, and I had a bad attitude about leaving Artesia, and I didn't want to do anything but play football and stay in school, just try to get by so I could play football. And I quit going to church, graduated from high school, and I realized that, long story short, for time's sake, folks, I realized that above everything, I needed to have a relationship with God, so I set out to try to figure out how to do that. So I started cleaning my life up. I quit smoking and I quit drinking and I quit doing a lot of the things that I felt were hindering my relationship with God. And I still had zero peace with Him. If you had known me, you'd have said, that's a real fine Christian guy. I was going to church. Oh, was I going to church? I was going to every church you could. We can drive down churches in Midland, and about a third of them I had attended them. My confusion grew. All I wanted to know was, what is my chance at getting to heaven? What do I have to do? I had started reading anti-Mormon doctrine information. And I'd come to the conclusion that either Mormonism was right and the Bible was wrong, or the Bible was right and Mormonism was wrong. But I was really leaning more toward the fact that Mormonism is probably right and the Bible's wrong. So I started investigating. As a result of that, long story, I wound up landing with guys that I worked with. One of them, and folks, as I give you my testimony, I'm just telling you what I went through. I am in no way saying anything derogatory whatsoever if you're a member of one of these denominations. Please, don't be offended by that. This is my testimony of what I went through. But one of my good friends that I admired so much was Church of Christ. And I started attending his church with him. And another guy was Pentecostal. And I was going to Church of Christ in one service and a Pentecostal church on the other. And I'm doing Bible studies with both. Well, both those guys are telling me how wrong the other one is. See, I had set out because I believed there could only be one true church in this earth. And I had to find it. Because if I wasn't a member of the right club, the right group, then heaven wasn't for me. I'd miss heaven. So that was my thinking. So I've got to find, first step is I've got to find the right church. So I set out. Well, everything was confusing. So what I did, I finally got these two pastors of these two churches to agree to meet me at one of the churches, A Street Church of Christ at 7 o'clock every Tuesday night. For a debate. Now, we could have sold tickets to that. It was very interesting. And I set the format. We'd talk about tongues. And we'd talk about baptism. We'd talk about salvation and church ordinances and that sort of thing. That went on for about 6 weeks. My confusion only grew. My peace never got over a zero at any time. Because I knew I was sinful. And I knew if I was sinful, I couldn't go to heaven. That was my thinking. So it was about either the fifth or the sixth week, and I got to a point where I was about ready to give up. And I told them in that last meeting that we had, I said, guys, here's where I am. All I want to know is what are my chances? What's my shot? On a scale of 1 to 10, what are my chances of making heaven? Can I know? So I asked Danny Allison, the Pentecostal man, first. I don't remember the other guy's name, but I remember Danny. I'll never forget him. I still love the guy to this day. And Danny said, Mark, you can't know. I said, okay, I buy that. But tell me why. Scripturally, why can't I know? And he says, because the Bible's very clear that no sin can ever enter into the kingdom of God. And if you have sin in your life, when you die, you're not going to make it. And I said, okay, I buy that. I'm okay with that. Now, what? And I asked the other minister, I said, so what? Give me your take on that. And he said, he's taking it too far. And I said, well, I kind of feel like he is too, but how far is too far? Help me with this. And he said, well, Mark, here's the deal. If you've repented and you've been baptized in our baptism and you've done these handful of things right here, then the rest of it, God looks on the heart, man looks on the outward appearance. I said, okie doke. Well, I've been studying my Bible, and my Bible tells me that my heart is badly wicked. And I know it is, because I know what's in this heart, and I know what's in this head, and I know the thoughts and the things that are going on in my life. I was very transparent, very open, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I was just under heavy conviction. And so this was the question, my last question I left with them. I said, guys, here's the deal. All right, let's say I've done what you say I'm supposed to do to a T. I've done what you said, both of y'all. Okay, I followed both of y'all's deal. And I got saved right now. I'm saved. My sins are gone. I'm washed. I'm clean. And I'm on the way to heaven. I'm born again right now. And I leave this premises. I leave your presence. I get in my truck and I'm taking off for home and I realize, ooh, I'm running a little bit late. My girlfriend's waiting on me. And this elderly lady is kind of holding the thing up and I start getting impatient and I fly around her and then there's a light that goes yellow and then red and I'm kind of got an attitude thing. I need to hurry up and get home and I blow through that intersection and I'm T-boned and I go into the presence of God. Danny, am I going to heaven or not? Now I was just saved. I was just saved. He said, nope. I said, okay. I buy that because sin, Scripture says, obey the laws of the land as long as they don't interfere with God's law. And what else? What else was I doing? Obey the laws of the land, have a good attitude, and have patience. So I lost my patience and didn't have a good attitude, and I wasn't obeying, so I had sin in my life. I'm going to hell. Okay, next pastor, how about you? He said, he's taking it too far again. I said, okay. Adios, I'm out of here. I go home. I would not go to a Baptist church. And the reason why is because they had that damnable doctrine that once you're saved, you're always saved. And here's why I didn't like that doctrine back then, guys. It's because I knew people that were Baptists that were living like the devil. And they were saying that they were saved. They walked an aisle one day. They made a profession. They said something. Then they went out and they were doing things that I wouldn't even think of doing because I had so much reverence for this omnipotent, all-powerful God. And I thought that was heresy. So I wouldn't go to a Baptist church at all. But my mom did. And a pastor came by looking for her one day. And he said, about 2 weeks later, I could tell he was a preacher when he walked up on the door. You know, the hairdo and everything. I asked him, I said, come on in. He said, well, I've only got a few minutes. And he talked to me about 30 seconds. He used borrowed my telephone. We didn't have cell phones. Then he borrowed my telephone, called the church, said that meeting I was going to, I'm going to have to miss it. I got a guy that is really screwed up here. That's so help me. That's what he said. He didn't think I could hear him. I thought, I wonder if a preacher is supposed to use that word. In fact, I'm wondering if I'm supposed to use that word in church. But anyway, so he asked me this first question. He said, Mark, would it be safe to say you're a little confused? I said, yes, sir. I'm very confused. He said, look with me in 1 Corinthians. I think it was in 1 Corinthians 15. It says the Scripture, read that. I had my Bible. It said right there, God's not the author of confusion, but He's the God of peace. I said, okay. He said, Mark, tell me how you think you can have peace with God. I pulled out my list. I've got to live holy. I've got to live right. I've got to obey the commandments. I've got to be faithful and attend church. I've got to be a member, I think, of the right church. I went through the whole thing I'd been going through. And he just chuckled. He said, start looking with me at verses. And he started sharing. I want to share with you just a few of these. I've always had them written down and never submitted. We don't have time for them, but this is what he was talking about. Titus 3:7 explains that the hope of eternal life is not in us, but it's in God's grace. Romans 3:24, for we are justified by the finished work of the cross. And then Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of your list, not of your works. If it was, you could boast about it. And you can't boast before this holy God that died on a cross for you. And then he told me the story of the Passover. He said, when you saw that movie, The Ten Commandments, do you remember how God came through the land and the firstborn was killed in each house? I said, yes. He said, do you remember what saved them? I said, nope. The blood. It was put on the sides and above the door. And when the Lord came through the land and he looked. He didn't go in there and say, let me see your list. Let me see your religion. Let me see what your church affiliation. Let me see what you've been doing. Let me see how much you've been giving. He saw the blood. And when he saw the blood, he passed by them. I leaned back on the couch with tears in my eyes, and I pointed at that and I said, that's what I've been looking for all of my religious life. Religion wouldn't give it to me. Man wouldn't give it to me. Guys, there are some of you here today that are struggling with exactly what I've talked about. You're struggling with this thing of thinking you've got to earn it. You can't earn it. It's impossible. Quit trying to earn it. Accept Jesus' death for you. It's what it's all about. Leland.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a moment. Just as Mark said, there's some of you fighting that battle. All of us have come through some of those rough roads. Our theme song here at the Rec Room is Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. That's the only thing that can do it. So tonight, what I'd like for you to do, you say, Leland, I understand what Mark's talking about because I'm there. I'm doing that. I'm confused. I want the peace that passeth all understanding. I want peace with God. I want to know that He loves me. Would you pray for me that I'd find that? Would you just slip up your hand if that's where you are tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Yes, I see your hand, sir, and yours at the back, and yours. Yes, I see yours. Anyone else? You can put them back down once I recognize. Anyone else? That's what I'm looking for. You're here tonight, and this is not the first time that you've faced a decision, and for some reason you've always put it off, tried to set it aside. Made an excuse of next week, next month, as soon as something happens, when I get out of Clover House, when I get off paper, when I get home, when something happens, I always got some excuse. You say, God is talking to me tonight. He's dealing with my heart right now. Would you slip your hand up real quick? Yes, I see you. And you, yes, thank you. Our Father, you've seen the hands of those that have said that they understand right what Mark was talking about, that they're in that place. So, Father, tonight, would you help them just step out and come down here and say, Lord Jesus, I turn it all over to you. I surrender. I give up. I surrender to Jesus Christ. I trust Him to take all my problems and all my burdens. Father, give them the courage to do that. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes still closed? Stand to your feet. As Brother Charles sang, will you come right now and say, I want Christ as my Savior. I'm tired of the battle. I surrender. I want Him come in my life. Come on, right now. Yes, come right on.
That Your blood was shed for me.
Come on, others come right now.
And that You bid me come.
What God wants you to do, come on.
O Lamb
of God, I come. Not O church, I come. Not O commandments, I come. But O Lamb of God, I come. Would you come?
Just as I am. to rid my soul of one dark blood. To thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Just a minute, I'm going to ask Charles to sing one more verse. No one comes will be through. How many times have you been right here? How many times have you put God off? Think. Jesus publicly died on a cross while people jeered him and spit on him and mocked him. Will you step out among a few people and say, I'll trust Christ as my Savior? As Charles sings this last verse, will you come? This is the last one. Whether you come or not, will you come on this verse? Just as I am. Come on. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that are here. Thank you for the one that came. Father, I pray for those that should have come. Father, I pray that you'd give them another opportunity, another chance. Thank you for others, Father, that made some decisions right where they were sitting. We know this. We know everybody made a decision tonight to either follow you or not follow you, to either bow our back to you or surrender to you. So, Father, help us to be what you'd have us to be. We know this, that the only place that there's going to be joy and peace and happiness is walking with you. So, Father, we ask for the help to do that. Give us the strength and the guts and the courage to do it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.